Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
G'day, Brizzy. Welcome to Saturday. It's just Dave here. I'm the anchor for Marto, Margo and Nick Cody, the Big Breakfast on Triple M, with a bit of a best of podcast of the past week. If you didn't have time to listen during the week, well, this is your one-stop shop for all the highlights from the show. We're going all the way back to Monday, where we found out the hierarchy of trucks and truckies. Who's at the top? Who's at the bottom? Also, Nick Cody arrived back in Queensland finally and went into hotel quarantine. We're going to find out how that went for him. We're also asking the question, how tough are your grandparents? Also this week, bit of sad news, 3,000 Virgin staff lost their jobs, but they got a shit gift as they were shown the door from Richard Branson. He said, look, thanks for your service. Here's a little gift. And it's pretty crap. So we asked worst departing gifts. Nick Cody also brought to Marto's attention some crab thieves who are facing the cold, hard fist of justice. Also, we asked the question, dob in a tight ass. Monday to Friday, it was a big week on the Big Breakfast. Let's rip into it with this best of. Enjoy.
Hey, can we talk trucks and truckers right now?
Yes.
Would that be all right?
So truckies!
If you're in a truck, pay attention. We're about to say... Actually, can I... There was something on the bonus show, the overnight show on Triple M. He was talking to the head of the... I didn't know there was an Australian Trucking Association.
Of course there is.
The CEO.
The ATA.
And they were going... Oh, if anyone rings up, make sure you do use your horn. He was going, well, it's not truckers. You know, people going, hold on, trucks seem to be able to go over the borders easily, straight through all the border closures. It's because this is okay.
There has not been one COVID positive test involving a truck driver since this pandemic started. You know, most of the time, these guys and girls are in the truck and they're being isolated anyway. So this is a very, very low risk sort of part of the community.
Okay.
They sit there, they're working alone. They're not interacting with other people.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah. And listen to this. He's saying it's going to be like RBT where they pull people over. They're going to get trucks because trucks can't go to hospitals. If they've got a cough or anything, go... What am I going to do with the rig? You know, I can't park outside of a COVID testing place.
In the emergency spot.
Exactly. Well, this is what they're going to do here in Queensland.
Queensland, they've started setting up some stations at the moment where the medical staff are actually on ladders. The drivers don't even have to get out of the cabs of their truck. So if we are going to insist on testing, let's make it mandatory.
What about that?
Why ladders? I want to have a little tennis referee chair.
Yeah.
Just sit up.
One of those stools that I have at my kitchen bench for my four-year-old when she wants
life
to
guard,
be a part of the...
just suck on this one. Hey, can we, if we're talking about truckers, now, I don't know what truckers we're talking about. Can we get the hire? We've never attempted to do this here on the show. Who do you think's at the top? Who's the most important trucker all the way? I'm going to throw one down for the least important trucker is like two men in a van. I'm calling them. They're going around picking up your rubbish. Well, furniture removalists are halfway up there, aren't they?
I don't know.
Who do you reckon? Is it how big the explosion would be if the truck you're driving caught fire? Would that be the most important truck
so
driver?
Is this the you hierarchy want to know the of best trucks?
Hierarchy of trucks. What's the most important trucker on the road and where does it go down to?
Surely they don't have respect for the, like, WA mine site, the automatic truck drivers.
Oh, God, no.
The truck drivers with an auto truck.
Nah. Is it the bigger the truck, the more important?
I don't know. Is it more rubber on the road, like cattle trains? Are they the greatest truckers, the most respected truckers, because they are the biggest and they've got more axles and wheels?
Or is it their job, like, are they delivering medical supplies to hospitals?
Can someone tell us? Because I think blokes who can't, you know, if an excavator puts dirt in the back of your truck, I don't think you're highly regarded in the trucking world. I just want to get the snobbery... Garbos, where are they sitting?
Respected.
All right. Can we get some truckers to ring us and tell us where everyone's ranked in terms of important trucks and truckers?
Dean from Larapinta, good morning.
G'day, guys. How
you
going?
Yeah, good. Where do you sit in the truck hierarchy?
I'm all up for the diesel mechanics, the truck mechanics.
Oh, God. They're underneath the truck fixing everything, yeah.
Without them, there is no trucks.
No, that's right. Without us, Australia stops, not the drivers.
Okay, so you think they're a bunch of hoaxers. What do you call them? Steering wheel attendants?
Pretty boys?
Yeah, we've got to get in their cab, especially with COVID-19. Some of these are grubs.
No, they just. That would surprise me. Do you think it's the Bay Marie? You know how we said there's been no COVID virus for any truck driver? Is it the Bay Marie that somehow provides a barrier?
At the truck stop.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. But they, you know... they're not the most hygienic sort of people,
no,
are they?
No, you're telling the story. We love truck drivers and their clean.
Yeah, is it a fried rice that's been reheated seven times? Is that the secret?
The coronavirus hits a truck driver and goes, no, thank you. I don't want to be associated with some of those crumb sausages.
And they've built up their immunity. Mick from Greenbank.
Hey, guys, how are we this morning?
Good, Mick. Good.
Who's at the top and who's at the bottom?
The most important ones are the turd herders, mate.
What are they?
Oh, yeah. Let's. Yeah.
At the end of the day, I want a big, fat, juicy steak.
Now, Mick, am I saying people go around, the truckers who go around doing the septic tanks, are they turd herders?
No, is it mate, the guy that drives the Broncos bus? The cattle drivers, buddy.
Oh, the cattle
drivers. Oh, right.
They've
got to unload and reload their truck every day, so many hours.
Are you telling me those blokes that see me up the front, they've got three trailers full of cattle, they have to get those cattle on and off themselves?
Oh, that's an extra skill on top of driving the truck. Mm.
What do you drive, Mick?
Oh, I just ride a couple of rigids around. I move live plants around.
Live plants?
What, for a...
Bunnings? Nurseries?
Nurseries, Bunnings, all of those sorts of places.
Where do you sit on the hierarchy? How far down the totem pole of importance of truckers?
I'm a bottom dweller, mate. I'm only a loose wheel nut.
Right. a man looking at the reality nicely. Thanks, Mick.
Patrice from Caboolture, good morning.
Good morning.
Patrice, do you drive a truck?
Yeah, I'm a garbo.
A female garbo.
Mato stuttered just then, Patrice. He was, a garbo.
Do you know Luscious Les, Patrice, my garbo?
No, I'm up the north side of Brisbane.
Oh, you're up around Caboolture. Now, listen, where do you sit then? Be realistic about this.
We'd have to be mid up to the top because if we didn't cart the crap away every day, it'd be a big mess.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be an enormous
mess.
Very
true.
Righto. Well, yeah. Do you accept that, Margot?
I guess so, yeah. Mm. I like that my bins get taken away every Wednesday. Thank you very much.
Cart the crap away, as Patrice said.
Okay. We finish with one more. Dougie from Ipswich. Hi, Dougie.
Hey, how's
it going? Yeah, we're not bad, mate. Who do you think's up the top, or is it you?
No, I reckon it's your old fuel truck driver, because without the fuel trucks, nobody goes anywhere.
No trucks go anywhere.
Mm, that's true.
That's right. We've got to have our fuel.
Dougie, what do you drive?
I'm a mud carter.
Yeah, so he's dirt after they dig foundations and stuff. Dougie takes it away.
Where does that sit? Does that sit above pot plants at Mitre 10?
No. Honestly, we're down the bottom there somewhere.
What about blokes driving Pantex? Are they really truck drivers?
Some of them, yes.
I think
fascinating.
I think for me, the most important truck in the hierarchy has to be my DHL delivery driver who delivers all my packages and online shopping. He's the number one. He is the number
one. He's got a Pantex so your packages don't get wet in the rain.
There we go. I think we all learned something. That was amazing.
Mm, turd herders.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Guys, the voice you are hearing right now is that of one very, very happy man, because I, Nick Cody, am back in Brisbane, baby.
Yes! Incredible.
Hold on, Dave. Don't let me finish the sentence. I'm in a quarantine hotel with a toddler. There's no time to celebrate.
Well,
but step one is done. We are back. It's taken a month.
You remind everyone, you were down there, your mum was a bit crook, you went down there and then you were trapped.
Couldn't get back. It's taken a month to get back from Melbourne, mainly because we walked. We're border jumpers. No. We flew up yesterday, and now we're in a quarantine hotel for the next 2 weeks.
Now, talking about Danny Minogue, she got in easy. You described the process, despite you being on air every day on radio, the process you had to do to tell them, listen, it's all right. I'm in Brisbane.
I've got to come back. And the first thing the government said was, well, if you're doing the show from in Melbourne, you can still do it from there. And I said, no, we got to get back to Brisbane. And they were finally cool enough. The chief health officer, Jeanette Young, you know, you get the exemption for the pass. You can travel back up, you know. So we traveled back up. We flew up yesterday afternoon. Very quiet flight. And the airports aren't fun at the minute. It's not groups of people going on holidays.
Let's go through all that. I'm quite interested because I travelled to Melbourne, used to travel for Melbourne for footy quite a bit. Very busy airport. Anyone there?
No. I'd say yesterday there were maybe 80 people walking around the airport.
Wow.
There were health checks along the way. Like before you get to security, you've got to stop, get your temperature checked. Then there's somebody. It's almost like going through customs for another country. Like you've got to almost go through passport control. When you get to a certain spot, they say, hey, can you show us your pass? So you show them the pass. And they go, all right, you can go through. Then the flight itself, the flight's quite nice because
how many
anyone's
people?
On there.
How many people are on the flight?
Maybe 40. Jeez, yesterday?
Isn't that the way to travel?
That's, yeah.
40, but then you land here in Brizzy, and it's pretty full on. There's army and cops everywhere, but it's running very smoothly. I'll say that. The Defence Force and the police were awesome.
Can I just check about the army? I'm a bit worried. Did they have camo on with high-vis over the top?
I didn't see high-vis in camo, but I did see camo in the airport. Not a lot of shrubs around at Brisbane Airport. No need for a ghillie suit. You're just there. You're under the lights next to the newsagent.
Were they mean and nasty, or were they just wanted the facts?
Were they suspicious of you?
No suspicions at all. Everyone was very straightforward. Hey, do you have your notice? Do you have where you're going? Yep. Do you know all about this? Do you have your hotel information? You know, because they then direct you to transport and you get sent to a hotel. But dickheads will be dickheads. There's always dickheads. And that's why I feel sorry for these guys and girls that are working at the border, because they're still dickheads. There were people yesterday turning up to Queensland now.
On the plane?
On the flight that I was on, we're getting here, and they'd say, so, you know, you've got to go into a quarantine hotel for 2 weeks at your own cost. And they're like, what? I was going to stay at Dave's house.
Oh, no.
How do you get this far in the process? I must have sent 150 emails over the last few weeks. I've spent upwards of 15 hours on the phone making sure, do I have the right form? My wife and son on the form. We've got the hotel sorted. This is... What idiot just goes, oh, can't be much going on. Just hop on this Jetstar flight. Let's see what happens at the other end.
Do you reckon, or were they acting, pretending they didn't know? Is anyone that stupid to be able to buy a plane ticket but not know that there's...
From Melbourne.
They're not allowed into Brisbane.
Oh, I was there. There are people stupid enough, Marto. Yeah. But the thing... We're trying to figure out. So we've got 14 days. We've got connecting hotel rooms. So I've had to hire, and people will know if you read the paper, I'm not going to tell you the cost. It sucks. I've had to get two rooms because obviously with a toddler, I can't do the show.
Because what does Charlie walk around saying?
Dad, 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 dad. You'll just hear that from 5:30 till 9. Dad, 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 dad. So we've got connecting rooms. And yesterday, my wife, we thought, you know what? There's only one way to get through this. My wife, you can order Uber Eats, Jimmy Brings.
Oh, can you?
You guys can drop stuff off if you feel like.
Do you need anything? Do you need a bike
let's drop
or
some
anything
stuff
like
off
that?
To Nick.
Well, we're all good now because my wife got scolded yesterday. She ordered 4 bottles of wine from Jimmy Brings and only 2 arrived at the door. And she called down to reception. And they said, ma'am, you don't need more than 2 bottles of wine by yourself. This is what I love about Queensland. In Victoria, when my mates came to Melbourne from overseas, the restrictions per day, 1 bottle of wine or a 6-pack of beer per couple. Queensland, 2 bottles of wine and 2 6-packs per person per day. Queenslander.
And I think we know, if you were quarantining in Bathurst based on their carton a day per person, it would have been about 12 bottles. Good to go.
It's good to be back, Nick.
Yeah, oh, nice. It's great to be back.
13 days in quarantine. We can see where you are, but we can't see you. You're about 800 metres from us at the whatever you call that hotel.
I don't care that I'm inside. It's better to be inside with the sun outside than being outside for an hour a day in terrible weather. Good to be back, Queensland.
Triple M. Hey, Victoria goes from bad to worse, as their Premier tells us.
Literally the biggest challenge we've perhaps ever faced.
Whoa. Wow. That's right. He's not talking about coronavirus. He's talking about the statement from the KFC Australia website.
What?
And I quote, We've had a bit of trouble with our chicken supply this week.
Oh,
restaurants
dear.
Are only open for limited hours. Some are closed altogether. This is a temporary measure.
Oh, no.
Literally the biggest challenge we've perhaps ever faced.
Okay. Now, what big problems need big solutions and need big thinkers like us to come to the fore? Let's think about it. If they're short on chickens and there was a coronavirus outbreak at one of the distribution centres, that's what caused it. Now, I'll just give you
I've got 13 chickens at home I could put forward.
Well, we might need more than that, Margo, because how many chickens do you reckon are processed every year for us to eat?
From hundreds of thousands.
500 million chooks each year we go through. 44 kilograms. Every man, woman and child in Australia eats 44 kilograms of chicken every year.
How good is chicken, Bob?
How good is chicken? But
it's so good.
But how good is KFC?
Those stats are just making me hungry for chicken. I know vegan activists would be like, aren't they shocking? I'm like, it is shocking that I can't get chicken right now. Yes. That is terrible.
Vegan activists are exactly why some of us are eating up to 60 kilograms because they're not pulling their weight. But let's have a look. We see what the problem is. There's a chicken shortage. And what the story, the thing is, with those 11 herbs and spices, if you pour them on anything and then deep fry it enough, anything will taste like chicken.
Quail?
No, try this. I don't care. I love it. Did someone say seagull? Like, how many bloody seagulls are there? Pelicans, there's so much meat on those bastards. I don't care. Ibis, finally we'll have a win. I don't care. I've run out of birds.
If anyone...
someone say pigeon. What does it matter what you eat? It's all white and birdie.
Cockatoo?
Yeah,
damn it. I mean, if anyone from KFC is listening, this is a great idea.
Did someone say budgerigar? No, that isn't that. Anyway.
Just a popcorn budgerigar. You can get it all in your mouth at once.
It's Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Checking out a bit of A Current Affair last night. They got me with the teaser. I'm not going to lie. They got me with the teaser. They've run out of things. So it's back to neighbourhood disputes.
Oh, nice.
And this one had an old woman. She was kicking off over in Perth. An 86-year-old grandma has been arguing with her neighbour over a patch of dirt that separates their two houses. And both neighbours are claiming it's their patch. The younger neighbour grew some lavender on there, and this has just set the old woman off.
I've got a sticker for myself. If I don't, who's going to?
She was busted on CCTV ripping up Kate's beloved lavender.
Oh, dog act.
Lavender is so nice. That's a terrible thing to do.
It's hard to maintain, though, lavender. It's very needy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Mm. Was it the lady
she was
with
doing
the
neighbour a favour?
She hosed the camera people.
No, this was that was the young neighbour.
That was the young neighbour.
The young neighbour has thought, you know what? I'm not going to get shown up by this old woman tearing up my thing. I'm going to get the bricks out. She was throwing bricks. She was spraying the hose.
You can't throw bricks at people.
Classic
A Current Affair story. It was great. But the old lady, the 86-year-old, she had
86.
To go to jail. She went to jail for 6 days.
What, for pulling a few plants out?
No, there was a few other things in the dispute.
Oh, was there?
What
She's a great grandmother. She's a great grandmother that spent 6 days in a maximum security prison.
What for?
Right? Incredible.
What were the charges?
These fights just keep escalating. You know the neighbour fights. I don't know what point it gets to when ACA turns up. But if you've got CCTV of your lavender patch, you are dead set living next to a lunatic. Right? But it's just got me thinking. I want to know, 133353, how tough are your grandparents?
Yeah, 86 years old doing 6 days in jail. That's pretty tough.
A weapon effort. I remember my grandpa, when he was a little bit younger, he knocked all of his teeth out with an axe.
Oh, Jesus.
That's why he had falsies. He was doing some axe work. Wow. He knocked them all out by mistake. Just got the chompers in. Tough grandparent. He didn't go to jail at any point, which
but the
is
thing
a bit
is
of a shame.
They're old and they just don't give a stuff. That's why old people get a bad rap, because they're just going, I'm old. I don't care.
There was that American woman, I believe she was late 90s or early 100s, beat coronavirus, celebrated in hospital with a beer. That is a tough grandparent.
My grandfather, when he was, he passed at 92, and right up until he died, he was still slashing his own property. You know those big slashes? He had 100 acres up in Mullaney. He used to get out and slash his own yard because he didn't trust anyone else to do it. I'm like, you're 90 years old. Go to bed.
All right.
Have a sustagen.
Must have been years ago we ran one of these. How tough's one of your grandparents? But one bloke rang and said his granddad was 93 and was up on the roof fixing it. Up on, you get just up a ladder there, when you're 92.
Tough.
That's
I can't
tough.
Get up one now.
All right, let's have a go.
I reckon the cameramen at ACA, they turn the hose on and put it at the front door and then knock. It's the only, there's too many people too quick to the hose on ACA. But I wanted to know, how tough are your grandparents?
Cameron from the Sunny Coast has called through. How tough is your grandparent, Cameron?
He's pretty tough. He's been through everything and the wars, and he's 96 now.
Yeah.
He only ended his license in last year.
Oh, wow.
At 89, he lost Nan, so he bought himself a caravan after about 3 years of mourning, and he pulled it all the way to Darwin by himself, and I used to help him a bit, connect everything and that, because he's getting a bit on the physical side. He's getting a bit.
Cam, can I ask a question? Was he driving an automatic or a manual?
An automatic, but he can drive a crash box. He still doesn't believe they make road rangers anymore. He tells me all the time I'm a truck driver, but I tried to give him advice that when it says 60 coming to a roundabout, I said, it doesn't mean you have to do 60. And he said, look, mate, when I was a kid, he said, they used to stick me on the flare of the bus at Maitland with a lantern to keep a lookout for cows. Don't tell me how to drive.
God, he's got the story. Mate, he's still going strong, is he?
Yeah, mate, lives by himself, and three-bedroom, he won't move out.
What's his secret? Tell everyone.
Oh, always has breakfast, mate. His big rule is, doesn't matter what time you got to get up, always have a full breakfast. And,
that's the key.
Good advice. Is he a hot or cold breakfast kind of guy, Cameron?
Oats,
bacon,
mate.
And eggs, hot pot.
No, he has a boiled egg, toast, and he makes his own muesli.
What a legend, Cameron. I love old people that still live at home and look after themselves. How good. Yeah, although there's not real incentive to live in an aged care facility at the moment.
No, usually people don't.
The ads
want
aren't
to
great for those aged care facilities.
Jason.
How you going, Margo?
Yeah, good.
Mardo, Nick, how are you?
Who is it, mate, and how old? Is it a grandfather or grandma?
Yeah, it's my wife's grandfather.
How old?
103.
No way.
Good stuff.
That's awesome.
Lives on massive acreage. He still drives a Massey Ferguson.
Oh.
And works on a Massey Ferguson. He's got at his 100th, we put photos up for his life, you know, and he's got photos on there at 100. He was in the bucket on the Massey Ferguson, and he's rigged up. You'd probably understand, Marto.
Yeah,
he's got the ropes to the controls. And pulls on the ropes and lifts himself up in the bucket to trim the trees.
No.
What a
legend. So he does everything on his own. Does everyone understand what he's talking about? That's extraordinary.
That's great.
And we shouted out, you know, what's the secret, Seth, to longevity? And he shouted out, Weet-Bix and women. And he said, whoops, I got that round the wrong way.
Oh, what women a great story.
103.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm learning so far? Keep your breakfast basic.
Yeah.
If you want to live a long time and be a tough unit.
No avocado mentioned by any of these old bastards.
No grilled halloumi.
No grilled halloumi.
Adam from Caloundra.
No spinach.
Have you got a tough old grandparent?
Yeah, I do.
How old?
It was 20 years ago, so I couldn't tell you how old he was then.
Yeah, but what did he do that made him tough?
How old is he now? And we'll figure it out.
Take 20 years off.
his innings ended about 4 years ago, so.
Oh, okay.
How old was he, Adam?
Well, I walked in the paddock, I turned around, and he was feeding some horses, and there was two grey ones in front, and he had an old brown one behind him, and it was Trigger. Trigger decided to latch a hold of his elbow. When he let go of his elbow, grandfather turned around and knocked him out.
Let's give him one.
Punch the horse out.
Yes, knocked the horse out cold.
What does that look like?
Please tell me you called him ketamine from now on. The horse tranquilizer.
He was gone. He just dropped straight away. He dropped the horse.
What movie did that happen on? They Call Me Trinity. I think Bud Spencer once punched a horse. It's not.
Are we talking in his 80s, Adam, or 90s?
No, we're talking... 70s.
Still,
it doesn't matter.
Book.
Yeah, we don't say it's a good thing to do.
No, we don't endorse
animal cruelty. If it'd catch on at the races, there'd be a few You want to go and confront the horse.
Oh, no, Adam's grandpa's coming out with the green tent.
He had 20 each way on that thing.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Oh, terribly sad news for Virgin Flyers members, staff, everybody across the board, because they're going to have to stand down 3,000 workers across the board. And there's many facets to Virgin itself. They have Virgin Records, Virgin Atlantic, Virgin Domestic. Like, there's all sorts of facets to the Virgin name.
No, but this is just their airline.
Just the airline.
But just their airline.
$3,000 from, yeah.
So 3,000 staff will be stood down and they will be.
That's pilots, that's hosties, that's ground crew, that's
staff, airport staff.
They're discontinuing their Tiger Air Australia brand as well.
You know who the real loser there is, don't you? Nick Cody and his podcast, Mid-Flight Brawl.
Oh, of course.
Rid of Tiger. That is going to cut out a few participants. Mm,
he talks
in the
about
future.
Fights, in-air fights, and a lot of them are Tigers.
I mean, Virgin is.
Oh, sorry. There's also no international flights anymore with Virgin, which means no Bali-bound planes, which also cuts out some future mid-flight brawl episodes.
Bugger. No, you're the real loser.
Virgin Chief Executive Paul Scurra came out and said it was a tough decision to let so many workers go and thanked them for their contribution to the airline. And he said that they will be closely supported through our alumni program, have all of their entitlements honoured and be provided with a two-year extension of employee travel benefits. Not that they can go anywhere. And early access to retiree and long service benefits.
So they get all their super.
Looking after all of their employees and trying to do the right thing by them. And by doing the right thing by them, they felt that they would give them a departing gift because, you know, all those benefits and that are lovely.
On top of that, they're also going to give them a gift.
They're so very generous that they're going to give everybody a gift.
Among other benefits, anyone taking a redundancy will be offered a keepsake photo signed by Richard Branson himself, a memento. On departure.
A keepsake photo of Richard Branson signed.
Wow.
You know,
that's underwhelming.
You know what we're going to see a massive raise in? What? And that is dartboards with Richard Branson's head on it.
Yes.
So you can't fire someone and give him a signed photo.
Give me all my benefits. I don't need the photo, but thank you very much. Thank you, but no thank you.
Margo, people could have worked there for, 10, 15 years.
Oh, I know girls. I have personal friends that have worked with Virgin for 14 and 15 years. So I think the company's been around for 17 or 18 years. So some girls have been there from the very beginning.
And their departing gift will be a photograph.
And their departing gift will be a photo of Richard Branson. Signed personally by him and also the chief executive, Paul Scurra.
What meeting? Who piped up in the meeting and go, you know what they'd really like? They'd love a photo of the bloke that started the company and then bailed out before we had to sack everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I worked here at Triple M about 3 or 4 years ago and left to head down to the Gold Coast and I got a scratchy. And at least that is useful because...
You got a scratchy?
How's that useful?
Guys, I could have won set for life. Yeah. I could have been... I could have been a potential millionaire.
But that's better than a Branson photo. Like, what's a Branson photo?
I would take the scratchy every day of the week over the Branson photo.
Bloody oath, I'm with you.
I mean, you could probably sell it on eBay maybe, but then there would be 3,000 of them on eBay. Yeah. So it's not a real hot commodity. No one's...
Remember the cliche used to be you'd get a gold watch if you worked at a company for 25, 30 years.
1-3-3-5-3.
What do you need a watch for when you're finishing work anyway? I could never work that one out.
Worst departing gifts that you were given by your workplace. I'm sure there are some clangers out there. I'm not sure if we can beat the Richard Branson signed photo or perhaps my $20 scratchy, but... Give it a nudge.
Oh, it was a $20 scratchy.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Oh, my God.
It's a good one.
I used to work at Carlton United Breweries down in Melbourne, and when I left there, they gave me a slab.
Slab. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Not bad.
That's just a great departing gift.
Yeah.
Is it though?
When the whole place is slabs? Maybe two slabs.
Yeah, make it two. 1-3-3-5-3.
That's what's wrong with Australia. Greedy people.
What was the worst departing gift that you got when you left your job?
Jody from Thornlands. What did you get?
I worked for an accountancy firm for 25 years.
25, yeah. Okay.
And they knew that entire time that I never drank tea or coffee in my life.
Oh, no.
And my departing gift was a teapot and teacup set.
Oh, my God. Did you sell it, Jody?
Throw it at
I did sell it.
Did you re-gift it?
Oh, was it a good one?
I sold it.
Yeah, good job. Yeah. You showed me.
There would have been some little junior. Oh, can you buy something for Jody on your way back from lunch today?
Corey from Cleveland, good morning. Worst gift you received when you departed your job?
Left McDonald's after 11 years and I got a gold ring with the McDonald's logo on it and a diamond in the bottom of it.
That's awesome.
That's unreal.
I'd take that every day.
Yeah.
That's gangster.
And then they asked me to dob on the some of the other people of the place I worked with.
And did you?
You did, didn't you?
No. Hell no. Not dobbing on, mate.
You didn't rat them out like a mafia kingpin, even though you had the great jewellery?
Oh, I mean, gold ring with a diamond in it. Like, you could just buff out that McDonald's emblem and keep the ring with the diamond and sell it.
Or sell it to somebody whose first name starts with M.
In the basketball and football in America, when they win the championship, they get a ring like that.
It's like a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, you got the French fries ring.
We're not feeling sorry for Corey there, are we? Andrew from Jimboomba, what was it?
I worked for a milk company for 5 years and we all got made redundant and they actually gave us cheese as a departing gift.
Oh, no.
Hey, Andrew, I love
not
cheese.
Not even fresh milk. Old milk.
Cheese on a cheese platter.
It was like sample packs of cheese too. Like,
no.
Were they just inside the use-by date?
Yes.
No, one of mine was out of date.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's too good.
Is it the penicillin? What's that, the blue cheese that you can eat when it goes off?
Now, Brett, before you tell us, would you have liked a Richard Branson signed photo, Brett from Carolee?
Oh, why not? Nothing signed.
Right, where did you work and what was the gift?
I was left this place as well. I was working for, and this girl gave me this card, and inside the card there was a scratch. The scratch it was scratched off, and it said, P.S. We didn't win.
Oh, no. Oh. They scratched it on your behalf and then rubbed it in your face.
Oh, that's...
God bless them.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Oh, an Ipswich father and son duo. Oh, two generations of absolute munters have copped massive fines after they were busted stealing professional crabbers' catches, keeping female and juvenile mud crabs and failing to label their pots.
You mangled dog.
This is this is a very important, serious in crime, but underreported.
Is this in the Bremer River?
Is that where they are, or in the Brisbane?
No, it was
River?
It was down near the Goldie.
Oh. Yeah, pulling up pots.
They were pulling up pots. The son also faced additional charges for illegally selling live mud crabs and attempting to evade Department of Agriculture and Fisheries officers, nearly running one down.
You mangled dog.
When did we hang the last person in Australia? Was that 67? Was it 1968?
Yeah. Bringing that back.
Bring it back.
Well, the commercial fishermen spotted him and they've reported it to the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries officers, who I imagine the DAF officers, they're running around like FBI agents, but they're in fishing waders. You know what I mean? It's a slightly different look. The court heard an inspector stood in front of their car with his arms raised, but one of the blokes took off, narrowly missing the inspector.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that is putting your body on the line for a couple of crabs.
Well, he then dropped off a blue esky on the side of the road, which contained approximately 30 mud crabs in the bag. Limit, of course, only 20. Now, when I found out that they've just put this esky on the side of the road with the mud crabs in it, they've almost won me over. You know, maybe they were just trying to be like the lady from Logan who was giving out free face masks.
No.
You know what I mean? Come grab one. But what I love the most, the lawyer for the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries told the court the most serious crime out of all that was it almost running over the officer? Nah. Stealing mud crabs.
Exactly.
I didn't know it was that bad. I didn't know crabs trumps almost smashing someone in your vehicle. You absolute mongrel dogs.
You mongrel dog.
The Big Breakfast.
Triple M.
Oh, I feel like a weight has been lifted off me today, gentlemen. I was very adult-like yesterday, and I did some life admin, you know, like where you just get your life in order. We went and saw our accountant, and we did the super, you know, in your role, or you got super in 10 different places because you've had 100 jobs, you know, by the time you're 24. Life insurance, wills, like we don't really have any of that sorted, and we probably should because we have 4 children. So we went and did all that sort of life admin stuff with our accountant. Yeah, it felt very grown up of us. And it was, you know, we got it all over and done with. And then I was kind of asking lots of questions about, you know, his clients. Have you got really rich ones? And
hold on.
He's like,
not grown up.
I know. He's like,
rich? Who's got lots of money that you'd know?
Are they like doctors?
I'm an adult.
Do they take an oath of not to talk about their other clients?
Oh, he said. Maybe. I'm not really allowed to talk to you about it. He said, but I do have a story about one of our clients who is relatively well off. And the reason he is so well off is because he's a real penny pincher, right?
Oh,
and
Corey must have been wrapped.
Corey thought this was great.
Isn't Corey one of the great penny pinchers?
He's a bit of a tight ass.
The other Broncos that played with him talk about him being, he's got Scottish blood, perhaps.
Yes.
He hangs on to everything.
Everything.
Is that true?
I like people that live the opposite. I've got a mate, a comedian, John Cruikshank, who works on building sites, and he said he buys lunch every day because you never know what's going to happen. He refuses to have a packed lunch. He'd just rather spend the cash and enjoy life.
I like it. Yeah. I'm on board with your mate.
You've got to make your own lunch, everybody. Yeah.
Well, this guy that he was telling us about is such a tight ass that he would not turn the aircon on long drives with his family and make them keep the windows up, because if they tried to put the windows down, he said that that causes a drag on the car and therefore uses more petrol. So not only was he making them sit in a sweat box, he was then saying, no, you can't have the windows down because it costs me more in petrol.
Bit of Bikram road trip. I understand. if you're trying to break the land speed record while you're trying to, if you're trying to reduce drag, but if it's a family road trip, being a tight ass.
Let's say he went 300 kilometres. That'd only save you 80 cents, surely.
Well, every 80 cents adds up, I guess.
Are we looking for people who are tight? My first boss, when I was an apprentice, we used to have a really powerful magnet, and towards the end of jobs, or even in the middle, if I didn't have a job, I'd have to go around the magnet picking up all the nails and screws that anyone had dropped. Because, you know, as you're probably aware, when you're building stuff, you're pulling stuff out of your nail bag really quickly. There are nails everywhere. He told me I had to clean the site up because it saved money.
Dob in a tight ass, because no tight ass is going to dob in themselves. I mean, maybe they might.
Yeah.
But maybe who do you know that is a real penny pincher and just is real scrupulous and frugal with their money? People need to rein in the purse strings because times are tough. Mm. Emma from the Sunny Coast, do you know a tight ass?
Yes, my mum.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what is she good for?
So when we were growing up, and at Christmas time you get the advent calendar, I had two sisters, so every third day you get a chocolate.
A family calendar. That's horrible.
Get your rostered chocolate. Every 3 days.
Hey, Emma, can I ask you this? My mum is a bit of a penny pincher too, but, you know, when you grow up poor or you don't have a lot of money, you learn to spend accordingly. But my mum's really good because she'll buy herself something and then give you the gift with purchase for Christmas later on, and you're like, Mum, a Jolique towel? That was a gift with purchase at Meijer this year. Genius. But it's a nice towel. You like it, don't you?
My dad went overseas once and flew. Must have flown business. He went over there to do some business. He gave me for the next present his Qantas pyjamas. You know how you get pyjamas.
I love them.
For Christmas, though.
I just thought they were kangaroo pyjamas. And then I realised somebody said, no, they're off Qantas, you dill.
Jaden from Berrinbah, do you know a tight ass?
I definitely do.
Who is it? Dob them in.
Yeah, so when I was about 18, I had a mate that I lived with, and we had a local fish and chip shop, and one day we were like, yeah, let's go get some chips. So he goes to his mum's wallet, grabs out $5, walk down there, makes me pay half and keeps the $2.50 profit.
That's tight.
That's
too tight.
That's not too bad.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Splitting them 50-50.
Sorry, Jaden, that's not tight enough for
chips,
us.
Like if it was a carton, I'd make you put in. And also, anyway, let's push on.
Let's have a listen to what Scott's got to say for himself. Are you naming and shaming someone, or are you a tight ass, Scott?
I'm not a tight ass, but my grandmother, a bit of a tight ass, and you were talking about World War II and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
She used to... get the tea bags and put them on the clothesline and dry them out and reuse them.
No.
I've heard of this. I've never seen anyone do it. She would have got two or three goes out of them before she went out to the clothesline, wouldn't she?
Well, the thing was, once you use them once, we didn't have to use another three tea bags to get the same strength.
Yeah, that's right.
One.
It's false economy.
Just
of course
always
it is.
Drinking.
It is.
Did she always... Just, I don't know if some of the older listeners will realise, did she always have a cup of dripping, like they'd collect the fat out of the pan and reuse it for tomorrow night? Back me up, son.
I don't know about that one.
All right. That was my mother, if she's listening. Hello, Mum.
That's the thing I never understood, though, because I didn't grow up with any money, right? But then if you get a little bit of money, I never think to hold on to it.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Like, no, spend it. Spend it. Have a good time. That's how the economy works. Corey, keep it all moving.
Corey used to get stuff when he was playing footy from Nike. They just sent him shoes and shirts and stuff. Yeah. He still has T-shirts and shorts in plastic in a drawer for like a later date and shoes in boxes that he just keeps up
for
in the cupboard.
For what later date?
Well, because he's like, one day someone will stop giving me stuff and then I won't have to buy it because I've all got it. I'm like, yeah, but your shoes are like 20 years old.
But
he's
you look
like
an idiot.
Baby.
Yeah. 50-year-old man with this little gut and a Broncos singlet.
Jack from Redcliffe. Do you know a tight ass? Dob him in.
Yeah, my old man, back in the 70s, he used to make me and my four brothers eat our rice bubbles with a fork so he could reuse the milk.
Reuse the milk?
Yeah.
Jack, you're taking the mickey, are you? Is this true? Oh, what a man.
Pour it back in the bottle or
I'm
what?
Sure, I'm sure that wasn't the only thing Jack would have done. Have you got something else? That's great.
No, that's about it.
That's the most memorable one.
Just the milk.
That's pretty wild.
Jack, have we got something for Jack? Poor guy.
Jack, we're going to give you a $100 instant scratch it pack with over 25 million instant scratch it wins last year. Play today. If you win, you and your dad can have all the milk in the world.
What a broken bones Bloody Jack might have had growing up.
And Jack, if you lose, give the ticket to your old man.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Guys, another day, another 23 hours and 40 minutes in a hotel room. It's time for day four of Cody's Quarantine Diary. Welcome to Cody's Quarantine Diaries. What a day. Day four. I was so excited for the fireworks last night. That really shows you how much my mental state has deteriorated. I was pumped for fireworks. If you like fireworks and you're not a child, you're a simpleton. My son had a nap and I decided to watch a movie. The Shining was on. Yes, The Shining. That's a classic. I then remembered that that film was about a man, his wife and a young son trapped in a hotel and he slowly goes mental while drinking too much. I must have dozed off because when I woke up a couple hours later, I'd typed all quarantine and no fun makes Nick a dull boy 500 times. They dropped off an extra meal at lunchtime today. I yelled out to the delivery driver that they'd made a mistake as I didn't want any of these inedible meals, let alone an extra one. Handed the spare one back and then found out when I was back in my room that it was chicken. What are the chances? I gave back the first edible feed I've seen this week. I've had 25 coffees since I've been here and I'm yet to do a poo. I wish someone could do it for me because I honestly don't want to be around when it happens. I saw an explosion on the news a couple days back that probably isn't far off. Anyway, it finally came to fireworks time last night and it turns out the view from our room is just other high-rises. Not very conducive to seeing the spectacular. Could hear them though, which I think we can all agree is the best part of fireworks, the sound. It annoyed me so much that I ran around yelling like an anxious dog until my wife sent me to bed. 9 days to go. Here's Cody.
The Big Breakfast.
Triple M.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town.
Ask your plumber to install a rain. Steady, hot and strong.
Triple M.